shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In our affiliate spotlight, by the way, tonight, we were remiss in our first hour. I want to mention KERN in Bakersfield, California, Kern. KERN is in Kern County. And KCPS in Burlington, Iowa, two great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com, which if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, that's exactly what you're looking at. And if you are watching us on Phil TV and HD, then you obviously already have a backstage pass. If you don't have a backstage pass, come on over and join us. We have live streaming video of our show every night. We have thousands of hours of archived downloadable material. We have many generations of the Phil Hendry Show and many different kinds of radio that we have done throughout the years. And we also have our character clips. And we also have our other video presentations, such as the pilots, the TV pilots we've done, TV things that we've done. Interviews, and much, much more. Our classic Phil, which is free, is also can be subscribed to through our website. So head over to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. You can also win an opportunity at a free month of listening. That's right. If you'd like to check out what it's all about for free, see if you can't win yourself a free month by entering our drawing. And here's how you enter our drawing for a free month of Phil. You just go over to our fan page at Facebook, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and like the page. If you've already liked the page in the past, you can go over to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. So we're on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, and hashtag PHS, hashtag PHS at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Two ways to enter our drawing, which is going to happen, I think, Monday. And somebody's going to win the first ever free month.
We're going to give away every month, right?
We're giving it away every month, a free month every month, to a lucky, 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 so lucky person. All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to bring on Margaret Gray here in just a moment, who writes the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me. And this is a very interesting story she's going to talk about. In Chandler, Arizona, Aaron Carr Jordan, who is a college professor and is a mom. She got a very surprising letter this week, very, very early in the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, as a matter of fact, when she got a hand-delivered letter. And what Mrs. Jordan got was a letter from a lawyer. And the lawyer was representing McDonald's. And the lawyer handed her a letter from McDonald's that said, "We don't want you anywhere near our restaurants, if you don't mind there." In Chandler, Arizona, there are 8 specific McDonald's restaurants there in the Gilbert, Chandler, Phoenix area that she's not allowed to set foot in. She's not allowed to be around. And what's the reason for that? Because they feel that her appearances there, her behavior there is disruptive. We're going to get a little bit more on this story from Margaret Gray, who has been following it. And, Margaret, I understand, first of all, thanks for being with us.
I'm very happy to be on, Phil.
I understand you're a fan of this woman.
Phil, I'm telling you that Aaron Carr Jordan is what every woman, I think what every woman would like to be, and that is a woman who is constantly vigilant and constantly on the lookout for what is absolutely the very best thing for their children. She's doing the work of a lot of women right now. And we must, I really think, Phil, we must give her our support.
What is she doing?
Well, what she's doing is she is attempting to get the people at McDonald's in the Phoenix and Gilbert and, I'm trying to see this, if you can read that.
Phoenix and Chandler.
I don't know
Chandler.
Chandler. She's trying to get 8 specific McDonald's restaurants to show some responsibility, Phil, and to show that they have the well-being of their very young customers at heart. She has been into these different McDonald's, and she's been to the play places. Now, are you aware of what these play places are?
Yeah, these are the areas at McDonald's where the children play.
Yeah, primarily preschoolers, or they can also be very young elementary school children, I think. But these are areas outside of McDonald's at these restaurants that children are playing in. Now, given the fact that children are playing in these areas, what do you think you're going to have? you're going to have a lot of bacteria. You're going to have a lot of these viruses that children transmit between each other. You're going to have a lot of very unsanitary conditions. And when you factor in, and I don't want to sound like Ted Bell because I just heard the segment you did before me, and I believe me, Phil, I'm not classist, and I'm not an individual who believes that I don't believe in the stratification of society and so on and so forth. But you do have to factor in that there are a lot of children coming into these McDonald's restaurants from areas outside of the central metropolitan area of a McDonald's. And you know what I mean by that?
No, I don't.
Each McDonald's has its own metropolitan core. In other words, each McDonald's that we have in America, because of the popularity of the restaurant, is in and of itself a center of commerce, a center of socialization. They are that important, Phil, the McDonald's restaurants, to American, sort of
daily rhythm?
Well, the daily business of our lives. And not daily rhythm. I wouldn't use that word.
Daily business, that's a good word.
Thank you. They are very important, and so they are metropolitan. When you take in the surrounding areas of a McDonald's, those become the suburban areas. Now, what we have with a lot of McDonald's, we have restaurants that are attracting children from outlying areas. That is, areas beyond the metropolitan reach of any single McDonald's. They are children, therefore, Phil, that are coming in from rural areas. Now, they're not really rural, but to the McDonald's, they're rural. You understand? So let's say a young child is coming from the inner city to a McDonald's in a suburban area. If that child is not organic to the metropolitan area of the McDonald's, the child is rural.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so every McDonald's restaurant
is in and of itself the metropolitan core of wherever it is.
Is the metropolitan core of wherever it is, meaning that McDonald's restaurant has, by virtue of its existence...
Yes, has created a metropolitan business rhythm around it and in it. And either you come from there or you don't. And if you are, and to use the terminology of the day, if you're shagging in from the sticks, you know, if you're coming in from the rural areas with your children, you're bringing diseases that are unknown to that metropolitan core. And that's what Erin Carr Jordan's work has been all about. She's trying to identify a lot of these diseases that are exotic to the metropolitan core. Where she lives and where her children live, they don't have things like ringworm. They don't have head lice. That is something that is brought in from the ruralization, from the farmland.
You're talking about farmland. And a moment ago, you were saying inner city.
I am talking about inner city, but because it's beyond the metropolitan core, it might as well be farmland. You understand what I'm saying?
Not really. I mean...
Bill, it's very easy. I'm saying... Donald.
Yeah, speaking.
I'm speaking English, Frank. I'm saying, Phil, anything that is beyond the metropolitan core of any McDonald's is the sticks.
Okay, so if a kid comes in, even if he's from the inner city, and he goes to a metropolitan... Not metropolitan.
If he goes to a McDonald's that's in the suburbs, he's in from the sticks. He's in from hillbilly land. And he's bringing his head lice with him.
Yeah, that's the point.
And he's bringing his head lice with him. What is she finding out? I understand...
Bill, don't get impatient, because there's a lot more. I've got a lot more to explain.
Well, we need to kind of get to the core. Speaking of getting to the metropolitan core, you know, we need to get to the metropolitan core of the subject. You know. Margaret?
Yeah, no, I heard you. And, look, I don't know any other way to say this. I know I'm on the air. Don't make me angry tonight, Phil.
I'm not trying to, Margaret.
I am very, very dedicated to this woman and her work. Please don't do it. Please don't make me angry. Please.
I can vouch for that, Phil, when he gets back.
Well, I'll talk, Frank, not you. So what we're talking about is Aaron Carr Jordan's work.
All right. And I know that we have some audio of Ms. Carr Jordan, and I would at this time like to get some of that audio up and running here, because there's some statements that she's made to the press, so on and so forth, and some things that might be illustrative, if you will, of what it is she's trying to say. Now, this McDonald's, which is located there in Chandler or Gilbert, here is Dr. Carr Jordan. She says she's found disgusting things that can make your kids sick in McDonald's playlands. Dirt, grime,
and fecal matter. That is very, very important. She has found excrement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, I am. But Ms. Gray, that is something which is another matter entirely, because they find that everywhere, you know. And
well, I can tell you this: you won't find that in my home. How? What does that mean? They find that everywhere.
They do. They find it. They'll find it at our house.
And where are they going to find fecal matter at our house?
Smeared on walls. Smeared everywhere.
Oh, for God's! You are absolutely vile. And Mr. Henry, I know what you're referring to. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
All right, I will take your word for it.
Thank you, because I came on as the expert guest.
I understand that. Here is Dr. Carr Jordan, Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan. She speaks of finding dirt, grime, rotting food, clumps of hair, sweat, swear words, graffiti, equipment in disrepair, broken windows, slides with gashes. I don't know. I'm reading a really big setup here. I'll bet you anything that that's exactly what she says. So here she is, Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan.
We found stuff that can make your kids very, very sick. We found dirt and grime and
rotting food and clumps
hair
of hair,
swear words
Good
all
God.
Over the place, graffiti.
That's just what you said.
Equipment in disrepair that's broken, second story windows that are busted out, slides that have large gashes in them. You name it. If it's a thing you don't want your child being exposed to, we found it inside these playlands.
That's one thing that I had told the guys that prepare the audio, and I guess they forgot, or that you don't have to transcribe it for me. You know,
what you just said is what she just said. So what's the point of you talking or her talking?
I understand. Here she is again, and I won't say anything, and here she is saying some stuff. How about that?
When I went in and repeatedly found that they weren't making corrective changes, I happened to have a longtime friend and colleague who specializes in microbiology and immunology, Dr. Furr, and I reached out to her and said,
Furr,
you know, can
I
this
know,
make kids sick,
Furr.
And what do I need to do to find
and,
out? So
hold on, I can't
we made
hear
some
anything.
Phone calls.
But I know, Dr.
I enlisted
Furr.
The help of
Great.
A lab, and we started swabbing. We found several strains of opportunistic pathogens, in other words, things that can cause infection or disease. We found stuff that causes meningitis, foodborne illness, skin, hair, eye infections. Again, Bacillus cereus, Staphylococcus, fecal contamination, quite a few things, coliforms that can make children very, very ill, several of which are multi-drug resistant and potentially fatal.
That was two pieces of audio. Your comment?
Well, I think Dr. Carr Jordan is alerting mothers everywhere that when you take your children to these common play areas, and you let your children loose into this... It is a wonderland of filth, Phil. It is an amazing, almost a magical place of bacteria. And you heard what she said, pathogens and all of those words. The one thing that does bother me about her is she thinks she's, obviously thinks she's special with the pathogens. She sounds like she thinks she's special, but I really believe in her. And when you let your children loose in a McDonald's play area, you're letting that child loose in a panorama and a wonderland of disease and rash and dripping sores. And
God almighty.
That's right, Phil. Read it and weep. Read it and weep, as they say in poker.
You know.
Because I've heard you guys play poker.
All right, we're going to take a break here as Margaret Gray continues to talk with us. And you heard the audio there from Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll continue talking about how safe are these play areas for your kids on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
A wonderland of drip.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and on the line with me is Margaret Gray from the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me. We're talking to her about this work, or this alert, or if you will, this controversy in Arizona, started by Dr. Carr Jordan, Erin Carr Jordan. She is, Margaret, where is this woman from? What are her credentials?
Well, she's currently, Phil, she's on faculty, I think, at Mesa College. She's also on faculty at the University of Phoenix. And one other school. She was at Arizona State, and she's very eminent, I think, in her own way. But I don't think you need to have a great deal of I don't think you need to have a big long resume, as my son says, Jason J. Delmonico. He says you don't need a big long resume, Mom. And he's right about this. I think what we're talking about are our children. And where they play. Now, I had taken a series of promotional pictures for Little Bird Told Me and a children's contest that we were having, a children's art contest. Now, for fun, I went over to a local Chuck E. Cheese and I sat in the little ball bin that they have. And if you've ever seen this, Phil...
Yeah, it's a big play area.
Yes, it's a big play area where the children jump into the ball. I sat in the ball bin. And then I began to feel very uncomfortable because I realized, my God, I'm sitting in this area on balls and children have been here. There is no doubt that they most likely have urinated. There is absolutely no doubt at all that some saliva has been smeared and, my God, I remember feeling sick, and Frank, you tell the rest of the story, because I am very...
All right, well, he got in the ball bin, he got out of the ball bin, and began to walk. Gets outside, and there's a producer, and I know the guy by the name of Jeff Wimcock. She's a producer over here at Vestley, which is a production house, and recognized Margaret and asked him if he wanted to be in a Western, and
what's this got to do with the ball bin?
Hold on, I was going to say hold your horses, but I don't want to see. And he'd been walking bow-legged and with his arms out over to his side because he was infected.
Yeah, I walked out of the restaurant with my arms away from my body and my legs spread, and I just was sort of walking almost robotic because I didn't want any of this stench to rub off anymore on me. This smartass by the name of, what's his name?
The producer.
Some producer said, have you ever been in a Western? Because obviously I was walking.
Maybe he was walking bow-legged.
I wasn't walking bow-legged. And I heard the joke last night on your show, Mr. Henry, from this retard that you've got working for you.
And retard?
Yes, that is the French pronunciation and is acceptable if you use the French pronunciation.
Are you talking about Bud?
Yes, Bud Dickman, the retard. He said that I walked bow-legged, and he was making some sexual joke.
I didn't make a joke about it at all. I don't even remember.
He doesn't even remember. But get to the point here.
The point is I had sat down in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Is there anywhere on earth that is more rife, that is more teeming with deadly bacteria than the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese? Is there?
All right.
Is there?
Give her a chance.
I'm giving her a chance.
I don't know, Margaret, if there is or not. But I will tell you this. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
No, oh, that's funny. Get to the bottom of what? The ball pit? I've already been to the bottom of it. And let me tell you something. It is slimed with children's loogie.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom of whatever it is you're talking about, because now you're way off into something else. You were talking about Erin Carr Jordan.
I am still talking about her.
Well, you're talking about the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Now, that's a whole other thing. And I don't want Chuck E. Cheese getting mad at me. And I don't want to start rumors where we don't start rumors. You understand?
No, I am not starting a rumor.
You're giving an opinion. You're not a doctor. Dr. Carr Jordan hasn't been over to Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe she will. I don't know.
I would suggest that she goes to Chuck E. Cheese, because I got out of the ball pit, And I was imagining every child that had been in that ball pit purposefully licking and loogieing on the balls just in the hopes that an adult sat down in the ball pit. And
to get her picture taken.
It was a publicity shot. What is that? Is that music?
Hold on. We're going to be right back with Margaret Gray. And I guess Frank is there, too, as we talk about Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan and the bacteria at McDonald's and the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
I wasn't walking bow-legged.
That's what she thought.
Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking with Margaret Gray about the news story out of Arizona. And this is Aaron Carr Jordan. You know, we're giving this lady, I never heard of her, but that's her name. And Ms. Gray, you've heard of her.
Yes, I have heard of Aaron Carr Jordan through this work, Phil, and I think it's outstanding. She's doing the children a great deal of good.
I know that. I'm just very wary of you bringing Chuck E. Cheese into it. When you talk about the ball pit and the loogie and saliva, and you're walking like a cowboy or something.
I was not walking. You know something, Frank? I, as God is my witness, I should hurt you for what you've done.
I didn't do anything. I brought up the fact that they...
I was approached by this smart-ass producer who worked over at CBS Laurel and said... Would you like to be in a rodeo movie? And I said, why? He said, because you could drive a... He said, you could put probably 3 horses between my legs. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. And I almost kicked him between his legs. And I was wearing very pointed high heels. And
well, what was going on? I don't understand. Why was he giving you this hard time?
Oh, my... Are you listening to me? I said I got out of the ball pit.
I heard you say that you'd been in this ball pit of Chuck E. Cheese, and it was rife with bacteria, which I don't know how you know that.
I'm a mother, Phil. For God's sake, I'm a mother. I'm not a doctor. You're right.
You're not a doctor. You're not a bacteriologist. You're none of those things. You're a mother. That's fine. But you are not qualified to say what may or may not be there. And on top of that, you're mentioning this a business, and I would rather that you not do that.
All right, I was at this fictitious place that has a ball pit, and they serve pizza and...
Okay, Margaret, you know, grow up.
I won't be spoken to like that.
Well, then please grow up and understand that we have laws in this country that protect businesses, even well-known businesses, from speaking untruths about them.
And how do you know I'm speaking an untruth?
Because you are not qualified to say whether something has disease in it.
All right, then I will tell you what I am qualified to say, and that's what my experience was.
Okay, fine.
I got out of the ball pit, and I felt unsanitary. So I walked with my arms out and my legs spread. Now, no, that doesn't mean that I was walking like a slut. It doesn't mean like I was walking as if I had a suppository. And I'm not yelling that because I don't want people to hear me.
Well, they can turn their radio up. I don't know why you're whispering. It doesn't work that way in radio, but anyway.
Excuse me, Phil, but I'm a lady, all right? So I wasn't walking with my legs spread as if I put a suppository.
I understand.
All right. I was walking because I could just feel, maybe it was psychological, but I could feel the filth and the drip-causing bacteria that would be in that ball pit.
The drip-causing bacteria. Now, that's a decidedly, I would say, adult disease.
Yes, it is.
Then why would that be present in a child's ball pit?
I don't know, Phil, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't put it past any ball pit that you want to talk about at any supposed child's restaurant to have every manner of disease. I could tell you that it would not shock me, and doctors have done preliminary work on this. You could get leprosy. And
no, you see, that once again, you don't know that that's true.
I'm imagining that one could go into the ball pit at a kid's restaurant, and within weeks, you've got a nose that's, well, you don't want me to say it, so
He's trying to say your nose is going to come off.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know what leprosy is.
Yeah, of course I know what leprosy is. And you're not going to get it from a ball pit. I'd like to bring on the show right now, if you don't mind, Margaret. I want to bring on another guest.
My understanding was that I was the only guest.
This is a gentleman who's called in, but we know who he is because he's been on our program before. He's Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. He joins us on our newsmaker line. We give him the back line. Dr. Sadler, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
And you've been listening to our broadcast with Ms. Gray?
Yes. Good evening, Ms. Gray.
Good evening.
And what are your feelings?
Well, I like yourself, Phil. I feel that there's probably an awful lot of very preliminary and unnecessary conjecture. I agree with Ms. Gray that wherever children gather in large numbers is a great potential for there to be infectious or diseases or infections that are transmissible between children. I don't know what she was talking about when she said the metropolitan area and the kids are bringing head lice in from the rural areas. I meant that there are children bringing head lice into areas where there isn't head lice.
Well, you know, let's talk about this head lice thing.
Fine, because I enjoy discussing these things. This is very important.
You enjoy talking about head lice.
When it comes to the well-being of the children, of course I do.
And may I ask another question?
No, you may not, because I know it's going to be about my speech impediment, and I don't want to answer questions about that.
Fine.
Thank you, Doctor, for saying that. I don't think you should have to. Go ahead.
The idea that head lice is somehow brought in from outlying areas is ridiculous, because this is something children get. You can pick it up from dirt, soil, and so forth. That is present in many other areas where a kid goes to school. Myself, speaking of school, Phil, I was educated at a college, and I also went to a high school. And I have formal education, but I was born and I was raised very poor, and it sometimes comes out in my speech. You noticed I had a grammatical stumble there. But more importantly, I'm familiar with the diseases that children will get. Impetigo, for instance, which is
Oh, God, that is disgusting.
Well, it is a... Wow.
We're talking about little kids now.
I understand. Jason J. Delmonico got it, and it was a large oozing... Have you ever seen...
All right, don't go into specifics, all right?
It's very, very disgusting, and we ought to pity the children that get that, not talk about how disgusting it is. And
no, I understand that, but when you have a child come into your home, as I've had come into my home, and the child has a big, huge ringworm gash on her face, am I supposed to serve her at the same table with the other children, Doctor?
Ms. Gray, I would say that if you have a child in your home with a very large, as you say, ringworm rash on her face, I would send her home with the suggestion that the mother or father or whoever the responsible adult is immediately get in touch with a doctor.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said I would send the child home with a suggestion to the mother or the father or whoever the responsible adult is to immediately get in touch with the doctor.
One more time.
Okay, now, I know what you're doing, Ms. Gray, and you can hear what he's saying.
I'm sorry.
Is she screwing with me? Is that what's going on?
Yes, sir. Okay, well, he hung up. Yes, he's hung up his phone. So, in other words, Ms. Gray, one would have to ask this question at this juncture. Are you serious coming on this program and talking about Dr. Carr, or is this just one big silly-ass diversion for you?
Am I serious about coming on your show and doing what?
Ms. Gray, you were messing around with Dr. Sadler's speech impediment.
Well, I wanted to hear him. The man couldn't say something, and I wanted him to restate it.
Yeah, because you wanted to make fun of him. Now, are you serious?
I am, both, sir. I'm talking about the well-being of children, Mr. Hendry. Now, I have told you that I am in fear that if I step into a ball pit somewhere, and you know the kind I'm talking about, and I come out of that ball pit walking like...
Walking like a cowboy.
my God, you're laughing now, and that's the very thing you told me not to do.
It's pretty funny.
It is not.
All right, if you come out of the ball pit.
If I come out of that ball pit walking like Tom Mix, okay? And.
Who's she?
Tom Mix was a cowboy in the movies. That's not because I want to jump on a horse and I want to rope a steer. It's because, Phil, I feel that I have become, to use the phrase that children use, and it is one that child psychologists use, that I have been loogied and that I am at risk. Now, you can talk to Dr. Carr Jordan, and you can also get that saddler back on the line. I don't care. Both of them will tell you that you're at risk if you've been loogied or if you have hit a ball pit. And they don't mention restaurants.
Well, we're way off of McDonald's. I thought you wanted to talk about McDonald's.
I do want to talk about McDonald's, and I know you have other audio to play.
That's what I think I'd like to do, is play other audio, because I'm not getting anywhere with you. And
I have been interrupted constantly. Every time I make a point, I am being criticized.
But that's because you're making some very specific scientific points that I find to be very hard to believe, and that's why I want to stop you there. You don't have the credentials to make those statements. Here is now, this is Dr. Carr Jordan. She said that the statement from McDonald's was not enough.
McDonald's has put out a statement, and we want to make sure we have a chance to read it today. They say, quote, "We put our customers first and are taking these concerns very seriously. We've spoken with Dr. Carr Jordan and assigned a team to review the report findings and our own existing procedures." And they also say that while they've had stringent sanitizing procedures for weekly, daily, and even spot training, cleaning rather, we're always looking for ways to improve our standards and how they are followed at each restaurant.
Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, you have to play the other piece of sound, because Dr. Carr Jordan then gives us her scientific and eminently qualified opinion that McDonald's is playing a game. McDonald's is playing a little hide-and-seek, and they're playing a little you-know-what to the gherkin, you know?
All right. Here is Dr. Carr Jordan's other statement, you-know-what to the gherkin. Here it is.
I don't think it's an actual response. I think it's a statement, which really isn't the same thing, because they've taken no corrective changes. They haven't implemented any new policy. And so I'm aware of that statement. I have spoken with them, and I keep saying to them, how's that reviewing process going, and when do you plan on making actual changes? And without their policy actually being translucent, we're not even sure what the policy actually is. I know that it doesn't have any specific items related to disinfecting, and just to say you spot clean isn't enough, because it doesn't identify what that actually means. And the results that I'm getting consistently across the board from McDonald's and from the other establishments that I've been to indicate that they are not being cleaned. The levels are so high that that's just not true. So there's either no incentive for them to clean them, or they're just not being cleaned.
That's Dr. Carr Jordan, and she is pretty much, first of all, very long-winded and basically saying that McDonald's is doing it all wrong and they haven't done what they say they're doing. And she sounds like she likes to hear herself talk.
Well, Phil, with all due respect, you sound like you like to hear yourself talk, too. I think there's a lot of people that like to hear themselves talk. I think when Dr. Carr Jordan speaks, a great many very wise and wonderful things come out. Now, I do agree, because I've been in the media for a long time. She sounds like she wants a career. What I find suspicious about her is she sounds as if she wants a career as a Fox News contributor, because she's da-da-da-da-da-da, and she has that cadence, which I find very obnoxious. And if I find out that she's actually bringing all of this up just so she can get a shot with Shepard Smith, I'm going to be very, very disappointed, because that takes her to a different level. She no longer cares about children. Now she's just another woman that will show it all, lift her skirt up if she has to. And
all right, I understand what you're saying. Let me get to a phone call here. Lloyd in Alhambra, California. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask the lady who is on your program now.
What did he say? Is it the lady? How now?
How now, brown cow.
Oh, I didn't say how now, brown cow. I said I want to know from the lady. You didn't call me. He didn't call me a cow.
I don't know.
No, he did not.
I did not call you a cow, ma'am, if you'll listen to what I'm saying. My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm calling from Alhambra.
Mr. Henry already said that.
Well, I'm saying it again. And I have a grandson who I'm very concerned with, and we love to take him to the ball area. And we have put him in there and taken pictures of him, and I play, and he plays with his friends. And I have gone to... now I'm looking at this movie called Hair, and a girl just took her brassiere off, so I've got to go. The pig...
What happened to him?
Where is he, bud?
He hung up. I guess he saw a nude scene.
He saw a nude scene and he hung up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. 877-876-PHIL. All right, well, look, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with the final segment with Margaret Gray and, of course, with her husband, Frank. And your calls at 877-876-PHIL on how hygienic, how safe, how clean is McDonald's play areas on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We have Margaret Gray here for a final segment as we discuss a doctor in Phoenix. She's an Arizona mother, as she was described, and we're giving her quite a bit of credibility here as some kind of a scientist. I don't know that we should be doing that, Margaret. Because she is a professor in college, and yes, she has a doctorate. I don't know what her doctorate's in, I don't believe it says in this article at all. She is an educator, and all of this is very well and good, but again, we have primarily a mother who is making all of these statements, you know.
Well, do you deny that the average play area at a McDonald's is rife with crawling disease? Do you agree with that? Do you agree that it's rife with crawling drip? And you don't like that...
No, I don't like that word. That's an adult disease.
All right. Do you agree that the average play area at McDonald's is crawling with infectious ringworm?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I don't know that that's been established.
I just got done telling you that you don't think she's a scientist, huh?
I think that she is a woman who's attracted attention. That's fine. She's a doctor. That's fine. She's an educator. That's fine. And I think there's a very valuable statement to be made that wherever children congregate and wherever children have their hands on objects in a public, like a public play area, yes, there's a case to be made about keeping those areas as clean as we possibly can, because the kids are going to get, we know now, the different diseases and viruses that kids can get. Beyond that, though, I don't know that her findings, where she says that, oh, well, they found this and they found that and I tested it for that and there's a pathogen and blah, 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 I don't know that this woman is qualified.
Well, Phil, on the one hand, you say, yes, we should be very clean. On the other hand, when I tell you that I'm literally walking bow-legged out of a ball pit, you're laughing. And
because some guy stopped you and wanted to offer you a movie and a part in a cowboy movie.
So you automatically assume I'm walking like I could fit three wild stallions between my knees. That is insulting to any woman.
I never said that. Okay.
What a jackass.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. You said that you were walking out of the ball pit, and
I didn't walk out of the ball pit. I had to be helped out of that ball pit. That's how disgusted I was. That's how weak I'd become from the thought of it. And again, I will tell you this. Let's talk about McDonald's. Let's talk about those little tunnels that children crawl through. If you get fully loogied in a tunnel like that, and
boy, there you are with these childish terms like fully loogied. That's not even a scientific term. You know,
excuse me, yes it is. It's used by a great many doctors and scientists because they want to use a common language, a colloquial language, that the doctors can communicate with the community at large with. So, and a great many diseases are named after. There's a disease that was named after a boy in the 50s. It's a rash. that you get, I think, either in the armpit. Frank, you saw me reading about it.
I think it's a scalp rash.
It's a scalp rash. It's called, I think it's called Billy's what?
It's called Billy Rash or Billy's Bad Day.
That was it, Billy's Bad Day. And
what the hell is it called?
It's called Billy, the rash is called Billy's Bad Day.
Billy's Bad Day, what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean? It's a rash, it's an impetigo rash.
No, but why is it called Billy's Bad Day?
Because a kid named Billy got it in the 50s out of school somewhere, and it was a bad day for him.
That's the you know what, I find that hard to believe.
Oh my God, you're calling me a liar again.
87, no I'm not, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd is called back, sir. I guess you were finished watching your TV show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir, I apologize, but I saw the, I was watching the television.
Well, I heard you say you saw a woman's breath.
Yes, I, oh now I'm looking at ass. Never mind.
Where'd he go? Hello?
Did he hang up again?
Yeah, he said he saw a butt.
I'm looking at ass right now.
Get out of here, all of you people. Phil Henry Show, News and Information Hour coming up next.
Phil Henry.
So you're calling me, you don't believe in me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Phil Henry Show. And for those of you on the East Coast right now, it, of course, is 1 a.m. Thanksgiving is one of the cool thing about this time of year is each of these holidays have their own sort of personality, you know. And Thanksgiving is always food, football, which is really cool. And, you know, a couple of drinks.
Yeah, you have a couple of pops.
Have a couple of pops. And then we have Christmas and New Year's, and it's really a great time of year. I hope you guys are finding your way to Grandma's house. I don't know how many of you are on the road. I know from experience that in many locales around the country, the day before is obviously a travel day. A lot of people take off early on Thanksgiving. But, for instance, here in California, I know it's probably true back east as well in the larger metropolitan areas. I mean, you're taking 6 hours sometimes to get a very short distance. So try to keep it cool, and I know that you will, and maybe you got an alternate route or you've got some kind of a way to get around all that stuff. Next hour, if we have time, we're going to have Vernon Dozier on, who also operates a service station in Glendale, and it's right near the 5, as a matter of fact, the 5 and the 134. He's going to be talking with us about the amount of traffic that's going in and out of the not only his gas station, but other service stations in the area and, you know, what the traffic's like on the freeways. But this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I think I was remiss in mentioning, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. So we'll be with you here all night as you're making your way to your destination, or if you're just staying home or your third shifter or something. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, which is our website, and we have our Phil TV and HD cranking along. And you can flip us on and watch us as well as listen to us tonight if you'd like. And you can see me. I've watched a couple of the video feeds of some radio shows, you know.
Yeah, you barely see the guy. They got like a black background or something.
Yeah, in some cats, the lighting is really bad. And all you see is like the guy's nose and his eyes. And it's a trip. What do you mean black background?
Like the guy that interviewed you.
Well, Kevin Pollak does the his chat show. He's got a basic black background, a la Charlie Brown. Who's that guy?
I don't know.
Who's the cat? The Charlie guy? Is that his name, Charlie?
Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown is a cartoon character.
I think that's the guy that does the interviews, though.
The cartoon character.
I think so.
No, it isn't. There's a Who's the cat that did the overnight interview thing? God, I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, we'll think of it. 877-876-PHIL. The first order of business here tonight is to get on the line Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park. They have some 20 stores in the southwest and in the southeast of the country. And they're open late, doing a lot of stocking for tomorrow, as well as helping out whatever customers are coming in. Although I would imagine, Bob, and welcome to our program, Bob. I imagine you're working late. You're going to be closing soon, huh?
We are, Phil, and thank you for having us on your program this evening. And you have been keeping us company, and we've been listening the last few nights as we get ready for the holiday. And we're very grateful that you're there, Phil. But you're absolutely right. It is a little bit after 10 o'clock at night here on the West Coast, and we're gonna close up at midnight. But we're going to be here very early in the morning tomorrow. We'll open up at 6:30.
Open at 6:30, huh?
That's right, and we will remain open so that our employees can have some kind of a Thanksgiving. We're going to remain open. A lot of the managers are going to stay here until about 6, but we will close no later than 6:30 tomorrow evening.
So that your employees can get home and enjoy the day.
You know, as much as we love what we do for a living, Phil, and we do enjoy serving people and certainly helping them out on this very special day, we do want to go home and be with our families, no question.
Now, by the way, I wanted to just bring up the fact that obviously this is one of the big days of the year for people in the grocery business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We do a very high volume. We, you know, I would say a significant percentage of our business, depending on what kind of an economy we may be having in any given year, but we always count on Thanksgiving as a very, very large portion of the business that we do. When we take into account, of course, the last quarter of the fiscal year, Thanksgiving really gives us, some of us anyway, a real pop.
And you have a smaller chain than the bigger chains, but you compete quite well anyway, huh?
Well, I think the nature of our grocery chain, we are smaller than Kroger's or Ralph's or Vons or some of these other companies. And I think people like that, some people feel that they're getting a little bit more of a high-end product, or perhaps they feel they're just getting a little bit better service. I like to think that we do because we don't carry as high a volume of things as the big stores, but we do have a great meat department. We've got great produce, and we do carry some items that the other stores don't.
Now, Bob, through all of this, you are also dealing with customers. And you had an incident or the occasion of a contact with a customer last week that you found to be so unsettling. You wrote a letter to the L.A. Times about it, and it was about the spirit of the season.
It was about the spirit of the season. It was really about how when you're wherever you are. And whatever you're doing, Phil, I think we really have to be kinder to each other. These are stressful times. We understand that. I don't think it's any secret. People are aware that everybody's under pressure. But that's no excuse not to treat each other with dignity and with respect and enjoy to the extent that we can a laugh with each other. The interesting moment for me, Phil, came last week in our store. A lady came into the store, and I remember I opened up early, but I was feeling good. You know, there's some days you like coming into work, you know. And
well, when you're the manager and you can set your own hours.
Well, that has its advantages. But the lady walked in, and she asked me, she said, "Where is your meat thermometers?" And, of course, I was not hearing her 100% because of two reasons. We were in the process of cutting some lunch meat, and I was over near the deli department, so the blade that we were using makes a little bit of a noise. And the other was that the floor was still being waxed back near the dairy case. So I didn't hear, and I thought she said, "Where is your meat thermometer?" Singular.
Okay.
And I was honestly surprised, and as a joke, I looked down at my, you know, the area below my belt, and I laughed, and I might have winked at her, I don't know, because, you know, it sounded to me like she'd made a big mistake, you know, she'd really made a misstep there. She got so upset, she demanded to see the manager. I said, "Well, I'm the owner of the chain," and she said that was crude and it was rude, and I said, "Ma'am, you were the one that said, where is your meat thermometer?" And she said, "I said, where are my meat thermometers? Or where are your meat thermometers?"
She was asking where the meat thermometers were for...
Yeah, for cooking turkey, exactly.
Okay, and this is a standard thing, and she said it in the plural.
Well, that's what she claims.
But I heard singular. And I said, ma'am, what I heard you say was, where's your meat thermometer? And that's why I thought of a joke, and I looked down at my, you know, at the area below my belt. And she used a few choice descriptions of me and said that it was, quote, sexual harassment. And you should have been there, because such a simple little exchange, and this woman was, she was hell-bent on turning it into an international incident, Phil. And I was embarrassed for her. I was embarrassed for...
Well, what was the upshot of this?
Well, she left the store, and my employees were there, and I said, this is an example of what happens when people, you know, come into it. And I said, be forewarned that we're in the business of serving the public, but no matter how kind you are, no matter how nice you are to people, there are people that are going to come into the store looking to make a problem.
All right, we're talking to Robert Green here from Fraser Foods on the Phil Henry Show. He is the owner of the grocery chain. Now, this is why I wanted to talk to you, because I think this is an interesting incident, and one in which I may not be reading it the right way myself. This is a female.
Yes, she was a woman probably, you know, 40s, 50s.
Okay. She comes into your store and says, where are your meat thermometers? And you thought she said, where is your meat thermometer?
That's what I thought she said. And
well, what did you think? If that's what she said, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking that perhaps it is the way she expresses that. That's her vernacular. Some people do tend to singularize some things. Where is your, where is your produce section as opposed to where are your apples? Or where's your produce as opposed to where are your bunches of lettuce or something like that? So when she said to me, where is your meat thermometer? I was thinking, well, she was referring to that section where the meat thermometers were. But it was an unusual sounding request, and that's why I turned it into a joke.
Do you think that that is a little tasteless when you're talking to a woman?
I would think it would have been tasteless, Phil, if I had initiated the joke, but I didn't. She did.
And well, was she initiating a joke? Was she misspeaking? Or did you mishear her?
Well, I did mishear her. You're absolutely right. But at the time, I thought she was initiating a joke. It's almost as if she said, where's your meat thermometer? Hint, hint. And I looked down at, you know.
So do you think it's likely that a customer is going to come into a store, your store, any store, a female, encounter a male worker or a male representative of the store or a male salesperson? Do you think it's likely she's going to walk in and say, let me just lay this on this guy. Where's your meat thermometer? And you're going to...
Well, I don't know. You're asking me to get inside the head of other people. I don't know. I know the world is full of very strange people. I've dealt with them my entire professional life. I deal with the public one-on-one in much more than a gentleman such as yourself, even though you do deal with the public. I don't know. All I know is that here comes this woman, and she decides that she wants to make a joke about, you know, what we're talking about, and I went with it.
But you found out, didn't you find out the woman was not joking?
I did find that out when she told me that she wasn't, but I think it was a very convenient way for her to put some blame on me. And I, again, what I'm saying to you is this. I think that woman came into the store that day looking to start something, and she did, and she left. And I said to one of our checkers over there, Susan Morello, I said, you know, she left just before I threw her out. You know that, don't you? And I kind of looked at her, and she nodded. I said, that woman left, and I made a store-wide announcement. I got on the PA, and I said, just for those of you that saw me talking to that lady, when she asked me where my meat thermometer was, I went ahead and answered her, and then she got angry and left. I said, she walked out just ahead of me throwing her out. I hope you understand that.
You announced that to your crew, huh?
Store-wide to my employees, yeah.
All right, I want to get some comment from people on this, because really what we're talking about here is treating each other with kindness, treating each other with respect, and you feel that was not done to you that day when that woman walked in and sort of entrapped you with what you think is this joke.
Not what I think. What I think. But if you'd been there, if you were in my shoes...
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. a very, very pleasant evening before Thanksgiving. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Robert Greene is going to be back with us as we talk a little bit more about being kind to each other. And the joke was this. The woman walks in and says, "Where's your meat thermometer?" Bob looked at between his legs, and turns out she was asking where the meat thermometers were. She wasn't making a joke. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Robert Greene. Mr. Greene is with the Mr. Greene is with Fraser Foods. He is one of the owners and is the CEO. And we're talking about the holiday season here, Bob. You had a customer come in, you think made a joke, and you responded in kind, and she was actually insulted, wasn't making a joke. Is it possible, and again, we have to tell people what the joke was.
Well, I think that's important, Phil, because otherwise people think that I did something wrong. The lady walked in and said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I thought that's what she said, and
well, if she had, okay, and you subsequently found out she said meat thermometers.
Yes, but it doesn't matter, because it sounded like she said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I looked between my legs as a joke. She got very angry. She said I was sexually harassing her, she walked out five steps ahead of me, throwing her out. The point is, and this is really the point, what has happened to our ability to treat each other with dignity and respect? What has happened with our ability to have a sense of humor and be able to tell a joke and laugh at ourselves and get on with the business of life? Instead, this woman's threatening to... you know, whatever, calling me a sexual harasser is pretty powerful. It sounds like she wants to sue me.
Well, but I might answer your question by saying, yes, I agree with you, Bob. Dignity and treating people with dignity is a good thing. It was a very bad joke to make, you know. And
No. I don't think you understand. She's the one that said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I didn't say that. I didn't wake up yesterday morning, call her up and say, "Why don't you come into the store and say, where's your meat thermometer, and I will look between my legs." She said that. And so I was just making a joke.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Yeah, somewhere between the joke and the way she took it, something went wrong. We're on the air here with Robert Greene, and I've got Steve on the line. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Robert, I think that the way you took that is totally out of line. You're a leader, a CEO of a corporation, of a business, and the employees that you have look up to you and are going to follow your leadership. And I think the way you took that is very poor.
Let me ask you a question. If a lady walks into the store and says to you, if you're in the business of groceries, which I am, and she says, "Where's your meat thermometer?" aren't you going to make a joke?
No. I'm an assistant store manager at a large retail establishment, and I deal with public just as much or more than you do. And I would never.
Wait a minute! I'm the owner of the chain, though. You know, so
That's fine.
I think you got to defer to my experience.
Well, I want to hear what this man has to say, though. He's as a store manager, he's like on the front. He's on the firing line. Go ahead, sir.
So Robert, if I were to say something like that, I would be fired. Period. I think it's ethically and morally wrong for you to say something like that to a customer of yours. She's somebody that's coming in wanting to spend money in your establishment. You're the owner of the chain, and you're the leader of the people.
That is true, yes. But you haven't given me one reason yet why you'd be fired if the lady comes in and she's ready to, you know, do business and, "Hey, where's your meat thermometer?" Like she's one of these...
Robert, where are your morals and your values, though?
My morals and my values are treating people with respect and also having fun with people if they want to have fun with me. If she says to me, "Where's your meat thermometer?"
Did you really think that woman walked into your store, a stranger, and right off the bat made a joke and said to you, "Where's your meat thermometer?" and she was referring to that?
I don't know, Phil. As I said, I've been in this business
this man Steve, you've been in the business a long time. I bet you've seen a lot of freaks.
I have, but I've never taken a comment like that and turned it into something like that. My last question to you, Robert, is are you a married man?
No, I'm twice divorced, so I guess you're going to make that into something, huh?
That's probably the reason why.
There you go.
Listen to me, one last thing. If I were to say that and I had to go home and tell my wife what was going on, I was on a radio show, I'd be divorced too. I think that's very disrespectful and rude. It's derogatory to women, and I would never treat a woman
that way.
So in other
words, you're giving me advice on not only being a retail manager, you're giving me advice on being a human?
On being a man. You know?
Come on.
I think you're wrong in a lot of different areas. And if you were my boss, I would have lost all respect for you, especially going over the intercom and saying what you said to your employees. But if you went back in there and had somebody talk to your employees, they lost a lot of respect for you.
You went on your intercom, Bob, and said what to them?
You heard what I said.
Well, you said that lady left just two steps ahead of being thrown out.
I said, for those of you who witnessed, I said that woman has gone two steps ahead of me, throwing her through the door.
Throwing her through the door.
That's right.
Trying to puff your chest up there and try to say that you're the bigger guy when you actually made a mistake and you're not willing to admit it.
Steve, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here in a moment.
Well, I resent very much the inference that I'm trying to put. That makes it sound like I'm trying to beat up on a woman. And
well, did you not say you would have thrown her through the door?
That is a figure of speech. I'm not trying to puff my chest up. We need to respect each other more, and we need to have a little more fun with each other. And that caller, that guy is an example of what's wrong with the retail outlets and the retail business in this country. And
all right, hold on, Bob. I got a break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Robert Greene will be back.
God.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're also online at philhenryshow.com with Phil TV and HD. We have Robert Greene with us on the phone from Fraser Foods. You've been in business a long time, Bob. We're not trying to tell you, how to run your business.
Well, I mean, I think that's what's happening here, though. I've got a lot of experience with people, and I've got a lot of your listeners, a lot of people calling up tonight who are presuming to tell me how to run a grocery business.
No, but specifically we're talking about the line, the lady saying, "Where's your meat thermometer?" and you looking between your legs. Now, is it likely that a woman is going to make a joke like that? A strange woman is going to make a joke like that?
I don't know. If she walks into the store and she sees a man, I don't think that I'm the best-looking guy in the world. But it's possible she walked in and saw me and found me attractive. And the first thing she wanted to do was make some crude reference.
You thought she made that joke as a way of impressing you?
As a way of connecting with me, yeah. I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to, we'll go to line one here, and we have Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Robert. Okay, I was listening to this story, and I can kind of see where you're coming from in the sense of you might have thought it was a joke, but you got to remember, okay?
Yes, sir.
The comment you made, that's something you would say around your friends, someone you're really comfortable with, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe you might be a little bit too comfortable with your work environment in the sense
What do you mean something around my friends? If you hear someone say to you, "Where's your meat thermometer?" you're not gonna go where I went?
Okay, that's situational, because if my friend said that to me, someone I'm really close with, I could take it as a joke. But a complete and total stranger coming in, it's even around Thanksgiving, so people are going out to these stores buying meat thermometers for the turkeys that they're cooking. So around the holidays, a complete and total stranger comes into my store and asks me where my meat thermometer is. I'm going to tell her where the meat thermometer is, what aisle it's in. You know what I mean?
Well, you're not going to make a joke, because when you just said, "I'm going to tell her where it is,"
And I'm thinking, well, that's a joke, too.
No, absolutely he's going to tell her where that's where the meat thermometers are. Right, Chris?
Exactly. I'm not gonna make a joke with a complete and total stranger because, what exactly what happened? You're not going to know how they're going to take it. You gotta remember,
let me just say that, you know, I appreciate very much your input, but Chris, you sound like a young guy, and I think you've got a great, great head on your shoulders, and I think I'm sure that you'll be very successful in this world. But I've been around this game for a long time. I've been a grocer since the 1980s, and I've been very successful at it. And when a very attractive woman walks in and says, "Where's your meat thermometer?" your mind is going to go one place. And
well, what do you mean a very attractive woman?
Just what I said.
And well, you're in a store. You're in a grocery store. And everybody that...
I stopped being a man?
Well, maybe I'm missing something then. Why did you say what you said?
I thought that's what... I didn't say anything.
All right, well, but I mean, why did you react the way you reacted?
Because I heard her say, "Where's your meat thermometer?" And then, you know, give me a smile. And I don't know what the gentleman on the phone would do, but to me that sounded like an entree to make a joke.
Well, it sounds to me like, and I'm not trying to be rude to you, but it sounds to me like you might be a little bit too perverted in that sense, because if that's the first thing you think of when she asks you that, and you act on that, I mean, you can't expect her not to get offended because of that.
Well,
I would go in
like
and ask you, where's your meat thermometer, you know, and you look between your legs, I'm going to get offended, even if I'm not a woman, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not going to do it to you, you're a guy. You're a guy. Well, I'm sure I'm going to do it with you.
Like can you see how she feels like you sexually harassed her then?
That's the whole thing. The lady's asking for the meat thermometers. And
well, I understand but what I'm trying to say to both of you guys is, whatever happened to just live and let live? You know, the guy's made a crude joke. Good for him. Now tell me where your meat thermometers are.
You know, in a relaxed world, like, everyone having that kind of sense of humor would be fantastic, but it's reality. People don't have that kind of sense of humor, especially when they're not going in there for that reason. I mean, you got to remember, it is...
What did you...
All I did was she said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I looked between my legs. I looked up. She looked to me like she was giving me a smile, and I winked.
Well, no wonder she's going to get pissed. You're looking between your legs. You wink at her.
You guys, you know, you're on the radio, Phil, and this gentleman, I don't know what he does, but you guys don't get it about groceries. How to run a grocery store, what to do when someone walks in and throws you a curveball like that. Of course your instinct is going to look between your legs. And
no, it isn't. Not if you're a grocer and you're about business. Chris, thanks a lot for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over here to Paul. Paul, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene.
Phil, what I'm saying is, as a grocer... All right, my mind goes in one direction.
Hold on, let me talk to Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing tonight? I'm just wondering,
thank you.
Is it an issue that every time an attractive lady walks into your store, that that is what she's after? She's immediately honed in on you, and she's after your meat thermometer. That's what I want to know, because it seems like a pretty twisted kind of
you're
thing
making
that
a joke
with this lady.
Well, you're making a joke, but how do I know that when she walked in, she didn't eyeball me and decide she was going to go for it?
All the time? Does this happen all the time? Is everybody that comes into your store, every attractive lady that comes into your store, are they after you?
No, sir, not everyone, but I've had moments where it's very obvious.
Well, okay.
I'm sure that this probably went the wrong direction then, right? So you assume that... She naturally wanted
I had a woman come in only one at a time. A lady walked in. Well, a lady walked in one time, and she was very pretty, and I walked up to her, and I probably shouldn't have said, I said, "Can I show you where the corn is?" And I smiled, and that became a problem. And
I remember when you told me about that.
Yeah.
Now that you admit was sexual harassment.
No, I admit that I said the wrong, I thought she was attracted to me.
So you were trying to hit on that lady, and this lady that came in, the same thing.
Let me ask this gentleman that called in. Are you trying to tell me that if you think a beautiful woman's hitting on you, you're not going to go for it?
Absolutely not in the setting that you went for it in, no. I think this lady came in with a legitimate customer service question, and you totally misread the situation, if that's the reality of it. And you turned it into a actual sexual harassment.
Well, sir, I can assure you, when you say if that's the reality of it, I'm inferring from that comment that I knew all along that I was being inappropriate. No, I did not.
All right, I'm willing to believe you.
How could you not expect that would be inappropriate? That would be inappropriate in any situation.
Unless the woman was expecting it because that's the way she wanted to do it. She walks in, she sees me, she's attracted to me, she asks me where my meat thermometer is.
If you're going to refer to your male appendage as a meat thermometer, it's going to be a sexual harassment situation. You being
exactly.
The owner of a chain should know in the customer service aspect of this whole situation, you went way over the line. You did not just step over the line. You jumped and tripped and fell.
Sir, I can tell you that if what you're saying is true, it was an innocent mistake. But let me ask you this. I saw her smile at me.
What do you mean smile at you?
She goes, where's your meat thermometer?
Women don't normally smile at you unless they want you.
Sir, people smile. You smile, I smile. Everybody smiles when we want to be pleasant with people, especially if we're dealing with someone in business. If you put that smile together with the line, where's your meat thermometer, wink, wink. And
did she wink at you?
No, I'm using it as a it's an expression.
Well, no, but when you use it as an expression, what you're saying is she's using body language. She's doing a lot of stuff.
She goes, where's your meat thermometer? With a big grin.
If she said, where are your meat thermometers with the big grin, that is a legitimate, friendly question from a customer. Hey, Paul, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Fred. Go ahead, Fred. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I cannot believe what I'm hearing from this gentleman. And if your name Robert, I believe it is, please listen to me. Don't be.
My name is Robert Greene.
Robert.
Of Fraser Foods.
Okay, Robert. Listen.
I'm the owner of Fraser Foods.
Okay, I heard you. Listen.
That's where I work.
Please don't be recalcitrant, okay? Because
I know you looked that word up and you wanted to use it. You're really eager to use that word.
In your position as the manager of that store, I cannot believe what I've been hearing, that a woman, or any woman for that matter, comes in and says, where's your meat thermometer, plural or singular, as the manager, and in front of your employees that are looking to you, your default position should have been aisle number three, or aisle number two, or they're over there, not, looking down between your legs. Listen what I'm saying. That's why I said don't be recalcitrant, Robert. Listen, because when you're dealing with women, you're dealing with the public, you have this, contact, on a daily basis, nice-looking women, unattractive women, it doesn't matter. The thing is, your default position should always be okay, aisle number three or aisle number four, if it's suggested. You should almost need to be beat upside the head by somebody that's actually hitting on you for you to actually go, oh, you mean me. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
Never have been your first assumption that
when
you know,
a beautiful woman looks at you, when a beautiful woman looks at you and says, hey, stud, where's your meat thermometer?
She didn't say, hey, stud.
She didn't say stud, and that's my point. She would have almost needed to have said to me, hey, stud, wink, wink, where's your meat thermometer? But that's not what you said. You said the lady said, where's your meat thermometer? And your default position should have been
with a grin.
Number three, ma'am, and let her come out and say, no, I meant you, stud. You didn't do that, and then...
Right, this man, I think this is Fred. Fred's laying it out perfect. Fred's laying it out perfect. You should have waited for the lady to make the move.
She made the move. She asked me where my meat thermometer was.
No,
that's not making
a move.
She asked, that was a customer service question, and your default position should have been aisle number three, ma'am, and then left.
Exactly.
No, I meant you, stud.
Yeah. And now, I want to ask a question here. Right.
You compounded that. You compounded that then. You compounded that by escalating it to a confrontation, and then you really went overboard when you went on the PA system and announced the incident not only to your employees but any other customers that either were in the proximity or was there to witness that situation. And I can't believe that you're actually on the radio saying your name and the store that you work at and telling people that this is the manager at this store is kind of creepy. And that's how you're coming out.
I did that. I was not addressing the customers. I was addressing my employees.
But you were on a PA.
Would you just listen to me? I was not addressing the customers. I told the customers this is not an announcement for you. It's for my employees.
How did you ever get to be the manager is my question. How did you ever get to be the manager of this store?
Let me explain. Sir, I am the owner of the chain. I own the chain, sir.
Well, that's even worse. That's even worse.
How's that worse?
This is the worst.
All right, let me ask a question here before I... Hold on for a minute. I want to ask you this. Fred, hold on. I want to ask you this, Robert, because I talked to Doug McCarthy, who's the produce guy there.
The guy you dug at Buena Park, yeah.
Okay. Doug said that you turned and looked at him and one of the other guys there, forget his name, some guy named Jerry, and you pointed at your you-know-what and made a face.
Yeah, I stuck my tongue out.
Wow.
Well, what are you? Give me a break. Are you trying to tell me I had my back to that lady? And Jerry and Doug and those guys calling you up and telling you that.
So they told me that you said it was fine. They said that, when they said, hey, can we give Phil some background? You said, sure.
I didn't know he was going to tell you that. What I did was, Fred... This is a man-to-man thing. It's a guy thing. I said to her, she says, where's your meat thermometer? And I go, really? So I look between
the
legs,
but
blah, blah.
That's my point.
And then I turn around, and I look at Fred. I looked at Doug, and I looked at Jerry.
I think it's a conversation.
And I looked at Doug and Jerry, and I went,
this is man-to-man. And man-to-man, I'm telling you that what you're doing is totally inappropriate.
Right.
It is completely out of line. You're not only the manager, you're the owner. You're supposed to be setting an example for
I turned my back to her so she couldn't see me, and I pointed at my you-know-what, and I made up...
This is the worst advertisement for your chain. If it's a one store or if it's a chain of stores, this is the worst advertisement. I hope that there's no women...
You have no idea what the grocery business is about, sir, with all due respect.
All right, look, I got to take a break. Thank you.
We're not talking about the grocery business.
Right, I got to take a break. Hold on, and thank you very, very much, Fred. I appreciate that, but we do have to... We do have to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is this what retail and the relationship between retailers and customers has become, where we're making sexual jokes because we think that's what the customer wants? The lady was asking, where are the meat thermometers? And Mr. Green took it as some sort of a come-on. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the night before Thanksgiving, or for those of you on the East Coast, and now I guess Central Time, it is Thanksgiving. We're here until 4 a.m. Eastern Time, 1 a.m. on the West Coast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking tonight with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bob, you've got a lot of people who are ganging up on you here. I understand that. Because of the way that that you responded to that woman who wanted a meat thermometer.
She said, where is your meat thermometer? And I thought it was singular, and I said, and I left, and I looked between my legs. I didn't point at it. I didn't go, ooh, or any of that stuff. I did that to Doug and to Jerry, the two guys that work in produce, because they were looking at me. I turned around, and they were looking at me and making a face. And so while the lady was fuming and threatening to sue me or whatever, I turned and I looked at Jerry and Doug, and I kind of made a funny face with my tongue out, and I went, ooh, and I did a little bit of a hip move.
While a customer is upset with you and is threatening to sue you, you turn around and look at...
Bill, don't get dramatic, and you're talking about things you don't understand. I've been in the retail business, you know...
Yeah, I know, since the 80s. I understand. But while the customer was upset with you, so I understand, you turned around and looked at Doug and Jerry, the guys in the produce section, and went, ooh, and hunched your hips?
I did one hip hunch, and I stuck my tongue out. And I pointed at my, and this is what I'm not allowed to do in my own business with a customer that is making a big deal out of nothing.
No, that's not a big deal out of nothing.
Excuse me.
No, that's not a big deal out of nothing. That's a customer that came in and wanted to know about meat thermometers, and the next thing she knows, you're making jokes about, looking between your legs. Let's go to a caller here. We have Bob on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Phil. I got two questions and some advice for this young man or man. The question
I want to say something. I didn't go ooh either. I hunched my hips, but I didn't go ooh.
Okay.
Fine. Go ahead, sir.
How would have you reacted to the woman's comment if her 6'2" husband, 220 pounds, chiseled, would have been standing beside her?
Probably I would have said the same thing, because I probably would have said this. I probably would have said, boy, your husband's with you, and you're asking about my meat thermometer, something like that.
Okay. The second one, how could she appropriately ask you the question to find out where the thermometer to measure the meat temperature when she was cooking turkey on Turkey Day?
Well, I mean, you see, that's just it. Because if you're female and you're asking about meat thermometers, you have to be a little bit more delicate. Because you understand...
I wanted my question. I said, what you tell us how she should have phrased the question.
Well, she could have said, where do you keep the meat thermometers for, measuring the temperature of the turkeys?
Okay.
Where do you keep the... What if you would have heard, where do you keep your meat thermometer?
No, I wasn't going to hear that. I heard she said to me, where do you keep your meat thermometers? And I heard singular.
As you pointed out now many times, you're the owner of the store, so
you're
synonymous with the chain or the franchise. So it's appropriate to say, where's your, meaning ABC.
You, the owner of the store, where's your meat thermometer? Exactly. We have to take a break. Robert, hang on the line. Thank you, sir, and we'll get to more of your calls on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this night before Thanksgiving. Robert Green from Fraser Foods and controversy over meat thermometers. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
And I didn't go, ooh.
El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And he was talking entertainment show that knows whither goest thou in the American night. That's a quote from a Allen Ginsberg poem. I don't know if... Allen Ginsberg, don't worry about it. Anyway, Robert Greene is with us. We're going to have Vernon Dozier on later on in the hour to talk about traffic. But we are talking about what turned out to be a great misunderstanding at the Fraser Foods in Buena Park during the course of business last week. As people were getting ready for Thanksgiving, a woman walked into the store and asked Mr. Green, where are your meat thermometers? And this began a series of events that escalated to a confrontation, as one of my callers pointed out. And we had Mr. Green threatening to throw this woman bodily out of the store. And what was transpiring was essentially a meat thermometer became some sort of a childish metaphor that Mr. Green felt that she was using on purpose, and no, she wasn't, and so there you go. We're going to get back to his phone call and your calls as well, 877-876-PHIL. And you listen to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're also available online at philhenryshow.com, and by that I mean you can watch a live-streaming video of the show tonight. You can also hear the podcast of the show tomorrow. You can also hear archives of our legacy show, which was the golden age of the Phil Henry Radio Show, at our website. All you need is a backstage pass for all of it, and you just go to philhenryshow.com, pick up a backstage pass, and you have access to the largest reservoir, the largest archive of any single radio show ever in the history of the world. And I'm not kidding. All right, 877-876-PHIL. By the way, we have our brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. They're in, and you got to check those out. We also have our Phil Henry Show ball caps, our T-shirts. We have our shot glasses, our coffee mugs. We have our legacy CDs, which will be available as downloads very soon. So all the more reason to get a backstage pass and to be a part of the marvelousness that we is. Right, bud?
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, getting back online with Robert Greene. And this has been a very challenging hour for you, Bob, but do you see any better where people are going with this?
Well, you know, Phil, do I see? Yes, I do. And do I appreciate what people are saying? Yes, I do. Do they see what I'm up against? Do they see what my challenges are? My challenge is to sell the product, to treat my customer with as much respect as I possibly can, to hopefully get their business back again and again and again and again. And so I pull out all the stops. I am gracious. I use humor. I use I'm personable with my customers. I know my customers. I know their families. I know their children. I have been known to send birthday cards and happy anniversary cards and things like that. Here comes a brand new customer. I didn't recognize this woman at all. It takes a lot to become a Fraser Foods customer. And so naturally, when someone walks into our store that we've never seen before, who is this person? Are they going to really come in and spend some money, or are they there to get razor blades? You know how it is. So when she walked in and she said, "Where's your meat thermometers?" And she said the plural, that's what I was told, for some reason I heard singular. And I thought, well, if you're going to come in here like you own the joint.
You know, well, you didn't tell me that this
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. Because
No. You didn't tell me that the woman walked in like she owned the joint. In other words, you had an adversarial thing for her right off the bat.
No, I did not. She was very attractive. And you know how a lot of attractive women are. They do walk into a place like they own the joint. And part of what you do when you're a grocer is you want to make sure that no one gets bigger than you. In other words, I'm the store manager, yes. But I'm also the owner of the grocery chain. So no customer is going to get bigger than me in terms of what I know about the store. So when she came in and said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" I said, you know, and I looked out, as I said. Was it a bad choice? Possibly. Was it crude? Possibly. Was her reaction over the top? Absolutely, because I turned around, I looked at Jerry and Doug, and I went blah, 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 like that, and I pointed, you know, between my legs, and I acted like a guy. Meanwhile, she's going on and on and on about sexual harassment. And
did she see you doing what you were doing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? So while this woman is complaining about sexual harassment, you're making fun of her. And, Bob, I must say to you,
Phil, there's been an awful lot of talk here about...
No, but hold on. I've got to tell you that everything you're saying here doesn't... It's not adding up to be a very good thing for you. I don't know how else to say it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone caller. This is Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing? Listen...
I'm good, sir.
What's the gentleman's name again? The owner...
We have Robert Greene. Robert Greene.
My name is Bob Greene, sir.
Bob, I don't mean to sound rude and shrewd, but you as an owner, as a grocery store and as a chain, and you announce it with such vulgarity like you're God. Don't you know what you're doing? The more you're talking, the more you're burying yourself. Do you hear yourself?
What do you mean like I've got? What do you mean like I've got? All I'm saying is that when you walk into my store, you're a customer, I'm the owner. Don't you think that that's significant?
Listen, that's good that you're owner. You've been there since the 80s, as you said, but the fact is that lady came in to get something for her family. You looked at it as a sexual because the fact is you said she was attractive. Any lawyer hearing something like that, the lady's got a case automatically. But beside that, what if I came in and asked as a woman, where is the meatballs? What aisle would it be in? Would you make a joke about that? Would it be funny?
If you walked in, you're a guy. No, I wouldn't make a joke about it. What are you talking about?
For someone who claims to be so intelligent and to own such a magnet of stores, do you honestly think how you're thinking? Do you know how you sound? You sound belligerent. Honestly, I'm not trying to be
Sir, I have to tell you, the only one that sounds belligerent here, sir, is you. You came on, you already were loaded for bear when you came on the air here. I mean, I haven't done anything to you. You sound like you're...
The gentleman is responding, Bob, to some comments you've made that sound very outrageous. You know.
Well, he's the one that didn't even say to me, what would I say to you if you asked where the meatballs were? What is that?
Yeah. The female. How are you going to make a joke about somebody who comes to ask for a thermometer for her turkey and you thinking about some sexual position for yourself because you said, listen, I thought she was attractive. I've never seen her before. Does everybody in your store who walk in that you've never seen before you're going to make a sexual comment about? Do you know how you sound when you're
No, sir. It is a way of seeing whether they make the grade as a customer. Now, I can tell you that...
What does that mean, make the grade, man? I've never heard of anything like that. Where I got to make the grade and...
Hold on. I can tell this gentleman that when a woman came in, I think a lady did come into our store a couple of years ago, and she said, where are the Swedish meatballs? And I made the joke. I said, he's in the back... cutting the meat.
Well, you know what?
Do you like that? And I can hear somebody laughing, and I'll tell you, didn't laugh.
And she thinks
that's your wife?
Really ridiculous. That's my wife, who's in the background laughing.
Yes, sir. Well,
I wouldn't want to come to your store, and I would suggest anyone else would not go to your store because you're a pervert. Because of the way you're sounding.
Your wife laughed. The female in your home laughed, and I think that's significant. You're calling up upset.
Because you sound silly. For you to be at such magna cum laude, as you said, your highest point, to have the grocery store, and you consider to talk constantly, oh, I'm the owner. I'm not a chain. I'm the one who owns the store. You're telling me, yeah, go into your pocket and take what you got because that's what you're saying. I speak it because I own it, and you're going to get it because they're going to take it
right
from you.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing that I think we're not discussing, gentlemen. Bob, you can't just, even if you own the store, we have a Public Accommodations Act that's a federal law in this country. You can't just act any way you want with people that you're actively soliciting the business from, the public.
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. What a nice speech.
Well, if you want to be a smartass about it...
No, I'm not going to be a smart... You're the guy that gave the speech.
No, I'm telling you what the law is. You can't sexually harass someone. You can't throw them out of your store because they're black or white or pink. There are certain things that if you're going to do business with the public, you must adhere to. Okay?
And I'm not allowed to have a couple of laughs. Okay, thank you very much. Both of you gentlemen, you've let me know I don't get to enjoy my life. Thank you. Great. Thank you. No.
Just don't be the clown.
I let me write that down. You can own a circus, just don't be the clown. All right.
Well, you know, you're being a... All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Mike. Thank you, buddy. 877-876-PHIL. And
I want to go back to something, Phil, because I think it's very significant. That guy's on the phone reading me the riot act, okay? He's scorching me up one side down the next. But who was laughing in that house? His wife.
Well, he said that she thought you sounded like a jackass, okay?
Oh, I see. Isn't that convenient? I made the joke about the lady said to me, where are your Swedish meatballs? I said, he's in the back cutting the meat. And I heard that woman go, ha, ha, ha. You heard it, too.
And would you mind not belching?
I beg your pardon?
Would you mind not belching?
I apologize, Phil. I just had salmon for dinner. I apologize.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here's a guy that is talking to women. Where's your meat thermometer? Well, ha-ha, pointing between his legs. Now he's belching up his salmon dinner. Where are the Swedish meatballs? He's in the back cutting the meat. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with Robert Greene talking about, this Thanksgiving shopping season, especially the last couple of weeks, and in his store and in other stores. You know, we are in such close proximity with each other, and there is so much contact, and there is there's a lot that's happening. There is money changing hands, there's questions being asked, there's the friendliness of the store, there's the lack of friendliness, whatever. And right in the middle of that, Bob, you had a lady asking about meat thermometers, and it turned into a sexual harassment situation.
Well, absolutely, Phil, and I didn't mean to sexually harass the lady, but then again, I thought she came into the store, saw me, thought she'd take a shot, and...
When you say thought she'd take a shot, she was attracted to you.
Well, look, I'm the owner of the store, I have money. I don't think it's any secret between you or me or anyone. Women are interested in men with money. And it doesn't really matter what we look like. So this is all I'm saying.
All right. I get it. 877-876.
Hold on for a minute. All I'm saying was the lady said, "Where's your meat thermometer?" Like she was hitting on me.
Like she was hitting on you, even though we've already sort of told you that, you know, it doesn't sound like that's the case. 877-876-PHIL. Wanda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? Look.
Good. Thank you.
From a woman's point of view, you know, I hadn't heard any women call in, and I just want to say that just listening to this guy for probably the last 40 to 45 minutes, I don't think he's sensitive to the needs of women, to how women feel. I think what he said was totally inappropriate, and all the things that your callers have been saying, I agree with them wholeheartedly, and I appreciate the men that feel just like the average woman would feel hearing Mr. Greene say what he said. That was inappropriate and out of line. Mr. Greene seems to think that he's got it to the point where every woman wants him, so he handled that all wrong. If I lived in his area, I would not patronize his store based on the way he conducted himself and then follow it up by getting on the intercom, handling things the way he did. So, sorry,
ma'am,
Mr. Greene.
All I'm saying is I know that, I may be 5 foot, I'm not tall, and I do wear a hairpiece. But
that,
I'm,
none of that is
I'm
relevant.
A wealthy man.
None of that is relevant.
I'm a wealthy man. I'm a wealthy
none
man.
That's relevant. That doesn't excuse how you
Why
conducted
would that be
yourself.
Relevant?
That was sexual harassment. I don't care how you cut it. And you're just making excuses for doing
Ma'am,
it.
What you're telling me, you see, you're saying to me it's impossible that that woman didn't walk in, eyeball me, and immediately try to take a shot.
No.
You're saying that's total.
I don't believe that's the way it happened. I think you are delusional. And you think it happened that way. Not for an instant do I think it happened that way. Just like some of the other callers said, it's the holidays. We use thermometers to check the temperature of the food we are cooking. I think you took it wrong.
I understand. Well, ma'am, but see, you're saying to me that I was insensitive.
Would
you say that I'm delusional? Well, you say I'm delusional.
You were insensitive. You are delusional, and you were very disrespectful. And this is coming from a woman who's been sexually harassed. You were wrong, Mr. Greene, and it's okay to admit that you were wrong, but you were wrong.
I understand that you think I'm wrong, but I don't like the assumption that I said the wrong thing when a woman walks in and may be eyeballing me.
You don't have any evidence that she was eyeballing you. Other than the fact that when she said, "Where is the meat thermometers?" you say she smiled.
This is exactly what she did. And I would like the lady. She goes, "Where's your meat thermometer?" You know how people would show teeth when they smile? She was like, "Where's your meat thermometer?"
Would you rather her have given you a frown instead? Would you rather for her to have asked you in a demanding voice?
Well, I got to be honest. I was married to a woman like that once.
Oh, so you're gonna
Let me ask you this, ma'am. All right, I got a perfect example for you. You sound to me like you have a very low voice. Perhaps somebody might mistake you for a man, right?
Well, it's happened.
So what if I'm talking to you on the phone and you call? All right, but what if you call on the phone, praise your food, you say, "Hey, yeah, where's your meat thermometers?" And I think you're a guy.
I would just say, yeah, we got him in aisle four.
Huh? So in other words, she would Wanda here would do better calling on the phone.
No, I'm just saying that I would think it was a guy calling.
Look at Wanda, good point you made.
What are you doing? Now you're blowing me off and you're...
Well, a little bit blowing you off, yeah, because your point is irrelevant, and I think Wanda made a series of very good points. You mean, if she calls in, you think it's a guy. What difference does that make? We're talking about watching a woman walk into the store, and the woman asked you a question, and you were rude. Thank you, Wanda, very much. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jennifer on the Phil Henry Show. Jennifer, go ahead, please.
Hi. I tuned in late.
I was just calling
to find out the name of this place, so I never, ever, ever shopped there accidentally.
In that instance, ma'am, I'm not going to tell you the name of my store.
Well, I already told her. It's Fraser Foods.
Right.
And I think that what you did right there, Phil, is very destructive.
I told her. She asked me. It's Fraser Foods in Buena Park.
The thing is, you got a pair on you. You say that you appreciate the customer, as you should as a business owner, but then it's all of a sudden the customer's fault when she does something that you didn't agree with. Now, how does that make sense? And how does that profit?
She just asked me where my meat thermometer was, and I looked between my legs and left.
Which is completely...
As a professional business owner, how does that make sense? Really?
I thought she was hitting on me.
But it doesn't matter whether you thought she was or not. If you're a professional business owner, you look past that and tell her where the meat thermometers are. I mean, it's just common sense.
Well, you're talking as a woman now. You're not talking as a man.
I'll talk as a man.
A man can't pass up an opportunity like that. If a woman walks in, and
what do you mean a man can't pass up an opportunity?
Are you that desperate? You have to hit on every woman that walks in your store?
No, did I say every woman? I didn't say every woman. I said this woman walked in.
That's a desperate situation, wouldn't you agree?
No, because I didn't say every woman. I said this woman walked in. She was pretty, you know, she had it going on.
Oh, you know what? You really sound revolting.
So you are attracted to her, and you automatically assume she's attracted to you because, hey, you cut the great hair piece. Hey, she must be attracted to you. That makes sense, right?
Okay. Yeah. Let me just tell you this. I use the term hairpiece. I have a $15,000 hair system.
All right, Phil?
I didn't come on your program to be laughed at. I came onto your program.
Well, Bob, everything you're saying is laugh worthy. You know,
I told you it's a hair system. You know what? I hope you and what's this lady's name, Jennifer? I hope the two of you guys sit side by side on a rocket ship to hell.
He hung up, Jennifer. He hung up.
Wow. I busted
Yeah,
you off.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No. It's okay. It's fine. It's totally fine.
I love Wanda. Did he really go on for 45 minutes?
What's that? Bob's been on with us now for about an hour and a half talking about this incident, but...
Wow.
This is his store.
What's that?
This is his store, and he does wear this hair system, which, whatever, you know.
$15,000
worth, yeah.
I would love the next wife to call in.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for your call, Jennifer, and all of you. Vernon Dozier is going to be coming up here in a few minutes to talk about the traffic, the Thanksgiving night traffic, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and it is either Thanksgiving, depending upon where you are, or the night before Thanksgiving. We're out here on the West Coast. We've got Thanksgiving in about, half hour, bud?
Yeah, about 27 or 29 minutes. What does that mean, man?
27 or 29.
27 or 29 minutes. Oh, okay. Anyway, Vernon Dozier is joining us from Glendale this evening. He's on Brand Boulevard. And Glendale, for those of you who are living in other parts of the country, it's just a city, a suburban city of Los Angeles that is like to the north, northeast a little bit of Los Angeles. And Mr. Dozier has a service station in the Glendale area. We're going to talk with him tonight, and also during the football season, during the school year. You're also over at Belmar Academy, right, Vernon?
That is correct, Bill.
You're a football coach.
Oh yeah, and I do teaching the seniors there, social studies, as well as our algebra, trigonometry for our freshmen and sophomores.
All right, but tonight I want to talk about the business of selling people gasoline and getting them gassed up and ready to go for the holidays. What kind of traffic are you seeing?
Well, as you might expect, we've seen it's been very, very heavy and continues to be heavy. I've got two of my guys on right now, and usually at night we're closed, but we've decided we'll keep it open here for at least probably we'll keep it open overnight because people are demanding, as they do, gasoline. I've got two of my guys on. I have my younger brother who is here, and this is one of the problems that we have is that my younger brother is mentally challenged, and that is, he's developmentally disabled, and so...
Yeah, I understand that. I'm telling me that, I mean.
And so, I have to have him here at the service station with me, because my wife is at home, and she can't really deal with that as well as the, the other situations that might arise. So, as a result, he's here, and people are coming in, and they're purchasing gasoline. And the reason why I'm mentioning all this, Phil, is because there's a very high demand, obviously, for a very precious resource, which is our oil, and the oil is refined into gasoline. We've got a lot of people who are using gasoline. Because people are using gasoline, and there's a lot of them using gasoline, I have to come out here, and I have to bring a brother of mine who is not, who needs to be taken care of. He needs to be looked after. I've got to bring him out here in the middle of the night. I've got two other guys that are on. I have to pay them. And the reason why I have to do all of this is so people can have their gasoline. Now,
but that's your business.
Well, it is my business, but it also is, it's not only is it my business, it's also my life's work in a lot of ways. And I don't like it when people treat me as if I'm just a utility. In other words, what I'm saying is I'm not selling water, and I'm not selling air, and I'm not selling oxygen. This is gasoline, but I want a little bit more of a little respect, I guess, is what I'm talking about.
You want a little respect. That's interesting. We were just talking to a guy, Bob Green from Fraser Foods, who people were saying he didn't give people enough respect. You feel you do, though.
I give people what they need. I give them gasoline, and they come in here and they buy gasoline as if they're lining up at a gumball machine. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm here. My name is Vernon Dozier. This is my gas station. And I'd like a little acknowledgement. I don't want people just coming in and out of this place as if I don't exist. My developmentally disabled brother is here. I can't leave him at home with my wife because she's afraid of him. And
what, for any reason?
No, she doesn't want a big disabled guy, hanging around. My wife is very young. As you know, Phil, I'm in my 50s. My wife has just turned 25. And
so you got a wife at home, doesn't want your developmentally... Does he live with you year-round?
No, he's just out here for the holidays. Okay, he's visiting from... He lives in Champaign, Illinois, with another brother of mine, but he's out here for the holidays. Now, that's fine, and I don't mind him being here, but when people come in and leave and come in and leave, it's almost as if I don't exist, and there's an existential depression that goes along with that.
All right. I think we're getting a little far afield here. I want to talk about the traffic and like that.
Yeah.
And I want to find out just exactly how heavy the traffic's been, where are the cars, going to.
Right, right. that, well, that's what you're doing, and that, and this is what my point is. You need from me. You want. And I don't know what... I don't know what I'm getting from this.
Well, what are you saying to me? Do you want to be paid?
No, I don't want to be paid. I'm not talking about payment. I'm talking about someone seeing me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Someone seeing me and not just seeing something they get something from.
Well, what you're talking about is a very heavy philosophical discussion about, you know, like you said, the existential reality of life. I wasn't prepared to have that.
I'm not talking about anything heavy. I'm not.
You're talking to me about, excuse me, you're talking to me about people seeing you and not just taking you for granted. Is that right?
I'm talking about something more than that, Phil. I'm talking about the way that people behave around Thanksgiving. They behave almost like pigs in a sty. They come in, they get there, they take the gas, a precious resource. They drive to God knows where, burning up precious fuel in the process, God knows how much oil it takes, so that they can drive to wherever they're going to. It may be a place that is worthwhile. It may not be a place that's worthwhile. I don't get to ask that. I don't get to do anything about that. No one says to me, Vernon, make sure they're going somewhere meaningful and not just going on some silly-ass joyride. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, first of all, Vernon, you sound angry, and maybe I shouldn't be talking to you tonight. All right?
No, I don't mind talking to you.
No, but you're talking about stuff I don't want to talk about, to be honest with you. I want to talk about the traffic.
Yeah, in other words, what you're saying is exactly what I've been talking about myself, which is you want to use me for what you want.
I want to... I know I don't feel like I'm using you. Didn't you say you'd come on my show?
Yes, I agreed to give you something. Now, what do I get? What are you giving me?
What am I giving you? I told everybody your name, all right? You've got a Perfecto station out there. Is that what it's called?
It's called Perfesso. Perfesso Gasoline.
Okay, Perfesso Gasoline, which is your gasoline station. I'm giving you a plug. People can come out and get gas at your station.
Yeah, they can come out to my station, get gas, ignore me, ignore my disabled brother. Just come in and take. See, this is...
You know, if I was just tuning into this right now, I'd swear to God it was a joke. This sounds so ridiculous.
What is ridiculous about this? I talk to my students about this all the time.
It's a very fine discussion to have. It's a great discussion. It's the Kafkaesque. It's metamorphosis. It's existentialism. I understand all of that stuff. It's great. It's a discussion of life. But we are not going to have that discussion tonight. We're going to have a discussion of the traffic and how many people are coming into the gas station and how heavy the traffic is and where people are going. And that's what I want to talk about.
Fine. Great.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because if you don't want to do that...
No.
You'll do it.
Yeah. What do you want to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'll do. Because that's why I was born, apparently. I was born to just... I'm Vernon. Come up and just have me do anything you want. Because that's what my life is.
Vernon, I'm going to hang up on you and...
No, please, Phil. I feel bad. Go ahead and use me in ways that I can't even imagine. Go ahead and use me, even humiliate me if you must. Go ahead. Go ahead, pull my pants down, make my hair into a little cutesy doll, whatever you want to do.
No, that's not why I had you on the show. And if that's how you feel, I don't want to treat you.
Because I just...
I mean, this is ridiculous. I called up so I could talk to you about, well, you know what.
Okay, here you go. We've had a lot of customers coming in tonight, Phil. It has been a very, very heavy day, a very, very heavy evening of traffic. People have coming in, and most people are going to Northern California, here from Southern California. That's where we travel. I know that around the country there are people who are going to different spots. Perhaps if you live in New York City and you're getting out of town, going upstate, perhaps, or maybe you're going down into Pennsylvania or Jersey and you're visiting family. Here in Los Angeles, generally, when people leave town, they head north. They may head south or even east to Arizona or up to Vegas, but a lot of folks are going up to the San Francisco Bay Area, and that's what I'm seeing.
All right, so is most of this traffic going north on the 5?
Let me see. There's one main artery north-south, and it's the 5. Yeah, I guess that would be it. Jesus.
Okay, you know something? Put this guy on hold.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
Whatever his problem is, man, I'm not, you know, I don't want to deal with it tonight, okay?
Well, he's talking about, it's kind of simple.
What do you mean? I know the main north-south artery is 5. He doesn't have to act like I'm a dumbass.
Well, why'd you ask?
Let me ask you something, man. The main artery going north-south is the 5. There's also the 101.
Yeah, but that ain't anywhere near where the one was that what he was.
Huh? That's nowhere near where the one was that what he was?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Oh, good. Well, you didn't get that either? I guess you need to learn how to speak English, bud. That would be a really, really nice start. There's a 101.
The 101's not near him.
Okay, so the 101's not near him. There's also the 15, the 215. Maybe they're going up to Barstow. Maybe they're going out to 10, you know.
Yeah, that's where everybody's going for a Thanksgiving, Barstow.
Maybe they're going to Vegas. Jeez, you guys are goofy, man. You think I'm nuts. And this guy's all crying because people don't see him. They're just take. This guy's supposed to be on my show telling me about traffic. We'll be right back. We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Vernon Dozier with us from Brand Boulevard in Glendale, where his Professor gas station is, and where much of the vehicles and the commuters and the motorists who are on their way out of town for Thanksgiving, many of them pass through this intersection on their way to the 5 or to the 134, which are main arteries out of Los Angeles, gassing up. Vernon, you said that you had people who are heading to Northern California, a lot of people that are heading out east and so forth. Now, what's the traffic light like as far as you can see on the interstate itself?
The traffic is terrible. I mean, it's slow and go, and that's just the way it's been. It's going to be that way for a number of hours, I think. As you know, Phil, it's the time of year where an individual may want to go just 50 miles. If you want to go, let's say, like where your studio is located in the very northern reaches of the LA metro area, and you want to go to the southern reaches, southern Orange County, it's going to take you hour after hour after hour. I mean, that's ordinarily about an hour drive anyway. It'll take you 5 hours.
5 hours. 5 hours.
That's right.
And we're talking, what, 60 miles, something?
70 miles, yeah. Yeah, that's how bad it's been. Now, as far as the traffic load going north, the same thing, because you were saying, well, there's more than one artery going north-south. But yeah, you're right, but the 101 is way over to the coast. I'm talking about the interior of California. And that's the one artery going north, and that's going to be jammed up. And the other thing about the 5 is that you've got California Highway Patrol crawling that thing up and down the CHP's all over it. They're all over it like white on rice. And if you try to pull anything, if you try to get cute, you try to get funny, they will come down on you like a bag of ball bearings, man. I mean, they've got the air traffic.
Well, they got choppers.
Yeah, they got choppers up there. And I've seen CHP. They'll do this. They got the chopper, so they're clocking people down on the 5, and what they'll do is they'll go ahead and radio ahead. You get about 2 or 3 radio cars. They'll pull over 10, 15 people at once, and everybody gets well. I mean, they're going to hit everybody up with a ticket. Now, the good news about this traffic is ain't nobody speeding. But I know there's going to be some people trying to get funny. They'll try to get cute. They'll try to, you know.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, if you're in a traffic jam.
Well, they'll try to go around it. They'll drive out over the desert area. They'll drive through someone's farmland. You know.
They'll drive through someone's farmland. I mean, are you telling me people are going to get off of the 5 and drive overland?
Yes, they will. They'll drive right smack over someone's grazing pasture, over farmland. That's all farmland up there. They will ruin an entire field of lettuce trying to get off the interstate and cut about 3 minutes off their day. They will destroy a man's business for 6 months just because they want to get to grandma's house sooner. And that's the thing that I resent more than anything else. That's why I was getting upset. These people coming in, getting their gasoline, and where are they going? off to someone's home, an individual who will be dead next year. And
you know, that's a crude. If you're trying to be funny...
No, I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, if you're not trying to be funny, that's a crude thing to say.
What is crude about that?
It's none of your business. It's none of anybody. If you want to go see your grandmother or your mother, whoever the hell it is you're going to see, and they're going to be dead next year, you don't have to mention that.
And I've got... Is that right? I've got a mentally challenged brother who sits on a wicker chair, and the only thing he has to do is to yell out ding, ding when someone comes in, because we purposely didn't put a bell strip out, one of those bell cables out.
And he's doing what?
You're not listening to me, are you?
I'm listening to you. What did you say?
I said, I heard you talking about old people, and it was in bad taste for me to say they're going to die.
Yes, in very bad taste.
Bad taste for me to say that people are going up to have Thanksgiving with them because they may die.
Yeah, very, very bad taste.
All right. Meanwhile, while those people gas up, I have to bring my mentally challenged brother with me because my wife's afraid of him, and he sits here in a folding chair, and the only thing that I've got for him to do is when a new customer, you know, a new car comes in, he goes ding, ding.
He goes ding, ding, like when they...
When you drive over the bell strip.
Okay. Well, are you saying it like you need him there?
I didn't buy a bell strip to give him something to do. God, would you listen to me?
So you didn't buy a bell strip so your brother could sit and go ding, ding.
So he's got something to do, yeah. Here comes a car. Hey, Charlie, I'm going to put the phone out, Charlie. Hold on. Ding, ding. There, did you hear that?
Is that your...
That's my brother. Hold on, Jerry, we got a customer. Okay, yeah, never mind. Because I've also got the guys doing a couple of... I've got two front-end jobs that I got to get done sooner or later. Go ahead, Jerry, you take care. Ding, ding. Got another car? Ding, ding. Okay, it is another car, right? And
well, that's ridiculous. You know, why don't you...
What do you mean it's ridiculous? Oh, my brother doesn't... He doesn't get to have things to do. My brother doesn't get to have enjoyment. Only some guy who wants to siphon all the gas right out of the Middle East so he can go up and see a grandmother that will be basically bones and ashes within 6 months. And
boy, you really got a bitter thing going tonight, man. From the minute I started talking to you, you know, you were on about how nobody pays any attention to you.
Are you listening to my brother? Did you hear him go ding ding? Do you think that that's something that you want your brother to do?
I don't know. I mean, if you're telling me that he's going ding-ding because you want to give him something to do. You say that he's mentally challenged. You say that he's visiting.
Ding-ding!
You say, was that him again?
Yeah, that was some other guy going ding-ding. Go on. Charlie?
Ding-ding!
Hey, we got another car.
I got another car. I heard the retard say ding-ding.
Don't you use that language. Hold on for a minute. Don't you ever use that language.
That was bad.
I'm talking on the radio. Even the guy on the radio said it's bad.
I'm sorry, sir, but I heard the retard go ding-ding.
Don't say retard. You know, I can't... This guy's the best front-end guy that I could find, and he's stupid as the day is long.
Who is he?
He's some bum that I hired. He just got out of prison. You know, I know the guy spent the last 10 years in prison, but that doesn't make him stupid, does it? And he's still using that retard word. What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at the retard word. I'm really not. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The guy just got out of prison.
He did. He's the best front-end guy I've ever seen in my life, and he just got out of... Yeah, the other one. Got out of Folsom. So...
Well, what was he in for?
That's not... I don't want to get into that, Phil, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier as we discuss the traffic situation.
Ding, ding!
And I don't know whether...
Yeah. Another one.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say retard. Ding, ding! I don't have enough...
Look, we got to... If you have to go...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go, Phil, and help the guy.
Ding, ding!
I see it, Charlie. I see the cars. You don't have to keep going ding, ding.
Ding, ding!
Have you ever wanted to hurt a brother of yours, even though he mentally was about 6?
Ding, ding! Shut your mouth!
All right, I got to go.
Calm down, Vernon. Calm down.
All right.
Calm down. You've had an attitude for a half an hour here.
Oh, okay, Mother Rosalia.
Yeah, that's right. That just call me Mother Rosalia. You got it. Calm the hell down, man. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your brother. He's there with you.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, lots of fun.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.